Hey, the bonus of two services is I know that in the first service, I went a little bit short, so I had a little bit of extra room. And so I want to start here today with one of my, it's been one of my most preached verses or pieces of scripture that I've used before. And I just want to allow you to hear it before I start. So there's a story where there's this dad, and he comes to Jesus with his son. And his son is demon-possessed. He tells Jesus, listen, my son gets thrown into fire all of a sudden. He'll just yell out. He'll do all these things. And Jesus shows up, and he chats with him. He says, so, and this is in Mark 9. He says, so how long has he been like this? He says, from childhood, it has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If I can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes and for her who believes. Everything is possible. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me with my unbelief. Today we're going to talk about belief and believing. And part of this is when we start talking about believing, sometimes it feels like it's hard. Am I actually believing? Am I all the way there or not? And here we see a guy honestly before Jesus just saying, listen, I do believe. I'm in. I believe in you. I believe you can do great things. But can you help me in the areas that I just don't quite get there? In the areas that I just don't quite believe in? The areas that are hard for me to believe in? I want you to know that Jesus didn't say, forget you. If you don't believe fully, you're out. He said he actually did the miracle and he walked with this guy. Jesus cares about us. So as I talk about believing today, I want you to hear that message in your heart. All right? Is that cool?
Yeah.
Right on. Okay. So we started a series last week called Simple. And we were talking about this concept that Jesus showed up on the planet to help people have relationship with the Father, to help people have relationship with God and know who he was, because things had gotten complicated. Things had gotten confusing and messed up and not that easy anymore. I mean, they had throughout Israel's history, Israel is God's people in the Old Testament. Throughout Israel's history, they'd turn away from God and do things on their own, and God would provide a way, and they'd walk through that way, and then they'd turn away from him, and then God would reach out, and they'd come back to him, and then they'd turn away, and there was this just strained relationship throughout most of the Bible, if you read the Old Testament. And so God, in his mercy and his grace, he said, I need to provide a way that this people who I love, who I care about, who I created, can have relationship with me. And so he sent Jesus, and Jesus started walking on the planet and saying, hey, everyone, just so you know, I am the way to the Father. I am the way to God. God is in me. I am in God. We are one. I was there in the beginning. I talk to him. He tells me what to do. I don't do anything that he doesn't tell me what to do. This is who I am. And I want to show you how you can have that relationship too, is what Jesus starts showing to people. And he says, and it's not even that complex. It's simple. Now, just because it's not complex doesn't mean it's easy, but it's simple. It doesn't mean it's going to be no problem. Doesn't mean there's not going to be some challenge. It doesn't mean you're not going to bump into some stuff. But it does mean that there's a clear route, a clear direction, a clear process that Jesus seems to create for people to get connected with God. We're going to follow the second of those today. When I was a young guy, I've kind of been part of the church my whole life. I'm thankful that I've had that opportunity. I know lots of people haven't. And God can use someone who's never been part of the church, and God can use someone who's been part of it forever. And certainly, sometimes people who've been part of the church forever actually have a harder time recognizing who God is and what he's doing in their life. But anyways, I was part of the church for a long time, and grades 6 and 7 were kind of big years for me. A lot of you have heard some of the stories. I've shared them here, but the gist of it is I had this leader who started taking a mentorship role in my life, and he started saying to me, Evan, you're bored in church, And you tell me you don't like Jesus, but I want to tell you this because you're not going where he's asking you to go. You're not experiencing the things that he wants you to experience. You're not trying the things that God wants you to try. So I want you to come with me. I want you to come experience what God wants you to experience. And so I started doing things with him. We went to this one apartment building and we gave out potatoes one time. I've told that story here before, and you can check it out at ngate.ca if you wanted. But we went to this house and gave out potatoes, and I led this guy to Jesus. It was like miraculously done. And at that point, I don't even know if I was fully committed to Jesus. I don't know if I really believed. I was still checking things out. I was still just following Jesus, wanting to know more about him. This friend, he took me to the busy intersection in Williams Lake one time. Come on. Someone who knows Williams Lake knows that's a joke. And we had a cooler of pop, and I'd give out pops when people stopped. I'd say, here's a pop for you, sir. And they say, well, what are you giving me a pop for? I say, oh, Jesus loves you. And okay, whatever. We gave out light bulbs before. I don't know what, I don't know if someone, how I'd feel if someone showed up in my house with light bulbs, actually. Like, thank you. We're an LED family. Do you have, but... Anyway, I don't know what would happen, but we were giving out light bulbs, and it was just like really random stuff. There was this food drive one time, and he said, hey, let's not go to people's house and make them give to this. Let's give it to it ourselves. And so we empty out our wallets, and we buy all this stuff for a food drive. And all the way along, I was discovering something about Jesus. I was starting to see the compassion that he had. I was starting to see the generosity with which he worked. I was starting to see what happens to a life when they follow Jesus and when they do the things that he suggests you should do, that he commands that you should do. And so I was just following along, and then grade 8 came. And I think I probably felt like I was a Christian, you know? I was part of a Christian youth group, part of a Christian church. I knew how to speak Christianese. Anyone know that one? I knew some of the big stories in the Bible. I was learning some of this stuff. I was learning to be a Christian. But there was this moment at this retreat that I went to in grade 8. And at that moment, this guy said from the front, he said, listen, you need to call on God. He wants a relationship with you. If you will believe in him, if you will believe him today and believe that he has a great plan for your life, believe that he's got a future for you, believe that he wants to take you from death to life, believe that he wants to lead you into heaven, believe that he wants not just that life after life, but life right now. If you will believe it, he will come into your heart. And I was just like, broken there in this moment, grade 8, not too many friends, trying to be cool, and I run up to the front, ah, it's me, you're talking to me, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in that experience before, it's embarrassing and beautiful all at once, right, just like, and I'm at the front, I'm crying, like, Jesus, I can't believe, and I was a pretty good kid, I'm like, I just want to give up, it's exactly like what Pastor Allen said today, that all of my goodness meant nothing any longer. All of the good things that I thought I was doing, all of the proper living that I thought I was doing, it meant nothing anymore in comparison to the grace that Jesus was offering, to the power and life. And so I'm just crying and snotty and all this stuff all over the floor. I just can't believe it. And I stood up and I thought, things will never be the same. Will I sin again? Yes. Will I mess up? Yes. Will I turn away from God? Probably. Well, I do things my own way, probably. But now I have the life of Jesus in me to live out. Now I believe. Now I'm not just a follower checking out what Jesus is all about. I believe in who he is. I believe that my life will not have its fullest potential without him. I believe that I will not be able to accomplish what I dream of without his power. I believe that my impact on this planet will be greater because I have him than without him. I believe now that he is God and that his life, no matter how hard it is for me, is going to be better than my life, no matter how easy I make it for myself. I now believe. And it was then when I was grade 8 that I said, okay, God, I'll just go wherever you tell me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And then I ran from that for a lot of years. I tried to do my own thing. But God has brought me back over and over. Evan, believe in me. Trust in me. Don't just follow me until it's hard. Don't just look at me until it's not fun anymore. Don't just watch what I do until it seems like it doesn't make sense to you. Believe that I am God and follow me as that. Next week, we're going to talk about obedience. And you will not obey God if you don't believe in God. Because God's going to call you to some things that are hard. God's going to ask you to do some things that are difficult and challenging. And next week, we're going to talk about that. But this is how it goes. It starts with following. And some of us follow for a while. And then God says, I want to define this relationship. Do you think I'm a nice guy to follow? Or do you think I'm God? Because you got to decide which one. And so are you following me and checking me out? Or have you decided you know me now and you want to believe that who I am and that I'm God? And if I'm God, wouldn't you listen to me when I tell you to do something and obey me, right? And so this is the process that we're walking in. See, sometimes we decide that I'm pretty Christian, you know. I go to church, I know some of the songs, I sing them, I know how to complain about the worship team, I've learned how to dissect the pastor's sermon until it means nothing to me anymore. I've learned how to do all the church things, you know. I'm pretty good at those things, and we just allow that to be our Christian life. I read some Bible sometimes. I hang out with Christian people sometimes. I do those things. And Christianity becomes a little sprinkling on top of the rest of our life. Oh, this is the rest of my life, and I just want to have good values, you know? I just want to have good things in my life. You know what? When I've been watching this, I haven't spoken at all about political things almost since I've been here at all. But I want to tell you, with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and all the fear and all the things that are going on and all the questions and wondering and where is it all at and what about these millennials that are rising up and what about all of this stuff and where are things going and we want the one who serves Jesus. You know what? God is going to be God always. He is always going to be God. There's not someone who can take God off his throne, and God can take someone else off their throne. And I look at some of the terrible leaders in the Bible that were trying to wipe out Israel and trying to take them down and do all these things. And God used them for incredible things. It was a pagan leader who sent Nehemiah back to rebuild the temple. A pagan leader who sent Israel back to rebuild all things. It was a pagan leader who established Joseph in Egypt. It was pagan leaders. They're not Christian leaders. They're not religious leaders. In fact, they were religious. They followed other gods. And yet God used them because God is over their gods. That's just the reality. And by the way, there's been some very strong Israelite or Christian leaders who were terrible leaders in the Bible. So we don't need to look at leaders and say, oh my, how are we going to do this? And how that person's going to overrule God. He's not. She's not. Whoever it is not. God still reigns. God still rules. God still leads. And we can trust him for that. So anyways, Jesus at one point does this with his disciples. Last week we said that he asked Matthew to follow him, and Matthew was this tax collector or sinner. And he showed up to Matthew, and everyone thought that he was going to say all these bad things to Matthew. I can't believe you're stealing money and cheating and doing all this stuff. And he says instead, hey, Matthew, want to follow me? We're going to go change the world and, you know, do some walking on the water and healing and raising from the dead and changing the course of history. Interested? You know? Follow me. And Matthew's like, okay, sounds good. I'll follow you. So he follows. They do a party at the house, and they spend some time with a whole bunch of other sinners and do all of these things. And then a bunch of people are saying, no, you shouldn't be doing that, Jesus, which will always be the case. And then Jesus keeps going with these people who are willing to follow him. Let's keep walking. Let's keep doing things. They're healing the sick. They're allowing the blind to see. They're raising the dead. They're feeding the hungry. They're taking care of the poor. They're doing all of these things. And then eventually Jesus sort of sits down with his people, his disciples, those who have followed him for a while. And he says, okay, guys, now who do people say the Son of Man is? This is in Matthew 16. Who do they say I am? And they replied, some say John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was a big character. He was a significant guy. A lot of people came to John the Baptist and said, "You got to baptize me." And he was preaching in the wilderness, and everyone was coming out of town to see him. And the king actually killed him, cut off his head. And so John the Baptist died. And then they thought, well, maybe John the Baptist came back and he's in Jesus. So maybe Jesus seems like a really nice guy. So maybe it's John the Baptist. And others say Elijah. Elijah was this guy who was a prophet, and he's a big part of Israel's story, stood strong when things were scary, and eventually he ended up getting taken up to heaven and not dying. So some say, oh, maybe it's Elijah. He comes back, and he's part of a part of Jesus. And in fact, Elijah, in Israel's narrative, was supposed to come and proclaim the way of the king, the Messiah, the one that was to come. And so some say, Jesus, that you may even be so special that you're the one who's going to prepare the way for the actual God that's going to, and the actual Messiah that's going to come and save us all. You might be Elijah. Okay, and then they say, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And so everyone says good things, Jesus. Everyone thinks you're pretty good. You've got some good things going for you. We like some of the stuff that you're doing, some of the ways that you're caring. And then he replied, and what about you? Who do you say I am? Because that's nice that they say that. That's nice that they've all decided what they think of me. That's nice that they all have made up their mind about, now I'm a nice person, a good thing, and that's good. But who do you say I am? And Jesus knows that this question will direct the steps of all of these disciples for the rest of their life. Jesus knows that they know who he is. They've seen him. There were these moments where the seas were roaring and they were on a boat and everything was going crazy, and they all say, "Teacher, get up and help us. Don't you care if we die?" And the teacher gets up and says, "Quiet down, waves. Quiet down, wind." They know there's only one that talks to the waves and the wind, and it's God. It's Yahweh. Jesus knows that they know. But he needs them to decide. Following is an easy decision. Well, maybe not so easy for some. Maybe he had to put some stuff down. Peter had to put down his net. Matthew had to put down his tax booth. But he's just checking it out. You're not really necessarily identifying with Jesus yet. You're just sort of walking after him, seeing the cool things he's doing. There was a lot of followers of Jesus in his time. A lot of people checking out what he was up to. But not a lot of people made the commitment to believe that he was who he was. To believe that he was who he said he was. So he says, "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Peter doesn't get anything right most of the time. Like, he's not the greatest communicator. He's usually saying things wrong. But he just jumps up and goes, "I have the answer, teacher. You're the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for. You're the Son of God." Like, when you said that you're connected with him and everyone comes through you to him and he is you and you are him, that's what I believe. And Jesus replies, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood." He basically says, Peter, you wouldn't have learned that on your own. You can decide to follow me on your own, but there's some things you can't do on your own. You can't allow that truth to resonate in your heart without God. It's actually God who allows you to believe in God. It's actually the Holy Spirit's work that allows us to call out on Abba, Father. It's actually that's how it works. He says, the Father in heaven has revealed this to you. And then he says, and I tell you that you are Peter. What he's saying is, you are a rock, Peter. And on this rock, so he says, you are this rock, but on this rock, Peter, I will build my church, on the rock of your confession that I am God. Because when people start believing that I am God, I can build something. When people start recognizing that I'm not just a nice guy, but I'm the one and only God who can build the church, when they start recognizing me as that, I will start building. I will start creating. I will start developing. I will start moving things forward. I am ready to work. I am ready to build what the church is supposed to be. I'm ready to see people saved. I'm ready for revival. I'm ready for those. But you can't just think I'm a nice guy and doing a good work and sprinkling some religious goodness all over your whatever else you're doing in life so that you hopefully go to heaven when you die because you were a good person. Actually, I don't even care if you're a good person. Actually, just so you know, being a good person matters zero to Jesus. He says, you need to believe in me. Because there's never going to be a good enough person. So since there's not a good enough person, everyone's a bad enough person to receive the grace of Jesus. And until we receive the grace of Jesus, we don't believe in him. When we believe in him, he says, I will build my church. And here he says, I will build the church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys, Peter, of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, and it will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he orders his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. I like this picture where Jesus says, well, once you allow your spirit to believe in this, then all of a sudden you're engaging in a whole new spiritual world where you get to be connected with heaven. That the blessings that can come from heaven, you can release them by calling them out here on earth. When you start to believe in me, you'll start to recognize that the power that is in you is greater than the power that is in the world. When you surrender to me, you'll recognize that I will be the answer to your recovery, that I will be the answer to fixing your marriage, that I will be the answer to your contentment, that I will be your answer to promotion if you're meant to be promoted, or to demotion if you're meant to be demoted. I will be the answer for the house that you need, for the life that you need, for the family that you need, for the kids that you're dreaming of, for the kids that are rebelling against you and walking away, for the addiction that you can't get past. I will be the answer for you if you will surrender to me and recognize that my strength can do what your strength cannot. Then I will build this church, he says. Then the blessing of heaven will come out. Then the life that I have pent up ready for you will come when you believe that you have the life only because of Christ. Then we will see this church build. Worship team, you can come on up. I need to tell you something. I like this church. I like this church. This is a good church. I really am so thankful for the way that this church is. The people that are here, the compassion that's in hearts, the generosity that's here. And I'll tell you, last Sunday, just so you know, we had more people here than I've had any Sunday that I've been here. So we've grown. Last month was our biggest month of giving since I've been here. Amen. I have people coming up almost every single week to me, tears in their eyes. I don't know what happened, but I want to follow Jesus. I want to go where he asked me to go, and I don't get it. And there are all sorts of stages of life. Not just one grouping is all coming. No, we've got people from all walks of life coming and saying, I want to follow Jesus. We're seeing some neat things in this church. But at some point, sometimes what happens when you're following for a while, you start to think that it's your following that is accomplishing this stuff. Well, I'm walking this way and I'm getting pretty good at preaching, and we got a good worship team, and we got a nice building, and our song, and all of these things, and that's really, really cool, and all of this stuff. Now we've got money, and we can use that, and all of this stuff. We've got influence, and la, 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 la. We start to think that that's what's going to build this church. Jesus said, believe in me, and when you do, I will build this church. And he's not just talking Northgate. He's saying the church of the Comox Valley. He's not just talking the church of the Comox Valley. He's saying the church of Vancouver Island. He's not just talking the church of Vancouver Island. He's talking the church of Canada. He's not just talking the church of Canada. He's talking global church. He's talking about the church, everything. He's talking about Muslims turning to Jesus and finding hope in him. He's talking about the addicted finding Jesus Christ. He's talking about politicians turning and finding Jesus Christ, not because we do good church, not because we figure out a few good steps and we can sort out how we strategize and how we reach and how we do it. It's because we believe in the one who actually can do it. And we surrender our wills to him. And when we do, he starts to build. Because it won't be for our glory anymore, it'll be for his. But he says, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Am I a nice guy to follow? Am I a good way of living your life? Am I a nice sprinkle of religiousness on the Sunday of life? Or am I God who gets to direct every one of your steps? Who gets to direct all of your life? Who gets to lead you through disappointments? Who gets to lead you through dreams that you have to give up? Who gets to lead you through those things? Who gets to lead you through tragedy? Because if you just follow Jesus, then all of a sudden tragedy hits, say, I don't know if Jesus actually did anything there. He's saying, who am I? Am I God or not? Because if I'm God, you know that I'm sovereign in that situation. You know that I can walk with you. You know that I can give you a good life still. And you know that at the end of this life, I've got eternity for you. And I'm going to put some jewels on your crown. But if that's not what you want, and you just want to follow, you can. But Jesus says, let's define this relationship. I want you to tell me, who do you say I am? Today, some of you, maybe for the first time, are going to say, I say this Jesus that I've been seeing as I've been coming to church, as I've been trying to read the Bible, as I've been doing all these things, I say he is God. And I want to give him my life now. I want to figure out how I can obey him and do whatever he asks. Some of you, it's a little bit different, where you made that decision once upon a time and then you started obeying God and then you started thinking that it was your obedience that was actually changing the world. And God wants to bring you back and say, wait a second. I told you believe in me, and once that's your confession, I'm going to do the work. You don't get to change the world. I'll change the world. If you change the world, that's for your glory. If I do, it's for mine. And your glory dies with you. My glory lives forever. Maybe God's calling you back to the simple believing that Jesus came, died so your sins didn't need to kill you, and gave you life for you to live here and now. Either way, I want to pray for you. Lord, thank you for today. God, we believe, but help us with our unbelief. It's not always that clear, God. It's not always that easy. We followed you and it was fun and it looked good and it felt right. And we found out that it wasn't all going to be sunshine and lollipops. But committing to believing in you meant following you through challenging times, trusting you in difficult situations. It meant giving up the fight, just fighting on our own and relying on you to fight for us. God, I pray for those in this room who are fighting addiction. I just, Lord, would you just allow them to know that they do not have enough strength, but you do? You do, God. Their belief in you allows your power to work through them. Thank you, God, that you empower us to overcome. Lord, for those who have gone to church and thought that was good and that was nice religion and that was going to work, the sort of thought like these guys thought, yeah, Jesus was a good guy and he was nice and made some good decisions, good moral teacher. Lord, I pray that you would reveal to our hearts as we open them up to you that you're not a moral teacher. You didn't come just to be some friend and some good thinker and some wise guy. You came to give us connection to the Father. You came so that we would have relationship with God. You came so that all who would believe in you would find life. And only God can give that to us. Help us to recognize you today, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.